Amateur Opinions. Thank you so much for joining us. Brand new episode. Easy, how you doing, bro?
I'm good, Deuce. I'm good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Nice. How's the week been?
Week's been interesting and fun, you know.
Sure.
I'm sure you're also following what happened with the GameStop stocks
and all that controversy. Yeah, it actually made my week. It cheered me up so much.
Yeah.
When I read that story.
It was just exciting, so right?
Yeah, no, it was exciting, but it was, you know, like for the past few weeks we've been talking about, last week we spoke about the digital mafia and we, you know, we're talking about the dangers of social media, and here comes Reddit, you know, and it comes out with a story that I think is a positive, you know, with what's powerful on the internet.
So you want to tell people what happened, those who don't know?
Sure. Wow, where do I start? Where do I start with GameStop? So, let's start with what shorting is. I think that's probably the best way to explain the story, because you have to understand what it means to short.
Well, just tell them the general of what happened, and then you can explain what shorting is.
Well, let me explain shorting first, then explain what these guys did. I've tried to explain this thing. I always find it easier to explain the shorting first, but I'll do it in layman's terms, as easy as I can. Basically, what the guys in Wall Street and the big hedge funds, what they like to do is, it's something called shorting. Essentially, what they do is they go to a broker and they say, hey, could you borrow me some stocks? They don't buy it, they borrow it. So we'll use an example. Maybe the stock is worth $10. So they go to a broker and they say, hey, borrow me this stock. So once they've borrowed it, the agreement is that they have to return it to the broker, right? After a certain amount of time. So you've borrowed this stock that has a value of $10. You then sell it immediately, right? And you get $10. And what you do is you wait for the value of that stock to go down. Let's say it maybe goes down to $4. You buy it back. You initially, you sold it for 10, you buy it back for 4. So now you're left with 6 and you give it back to the broker. So initially you had nothing and now you have $6, you know? So you borrowed it, you sold it for 10, bought it for 4, and then you gave it back to the broker. So they call this shorting, and it only works if the value of the stock goes down. If the value of the stock goes up, so let's take the scenario again. You go to the broker, you borrow a stock, he gives you $10, you sell it for 10, but now the value of the stock goes up. So maybe it goes up to 15. You now need to buy it back at 15 and give it back to the broker. So you've lost $5. So you only want to short a stock if you're sure that its value is going to drop. And what the hedge funds were doing, they were doing this for a company called GameStop. GameStop was at around $4 a share. So these hedge funds were like, you know what? We think GameStop is going under. We're going to short GameStop. And a group of guys on Reddit saw what was happening. And they said, you know what? Let's screw these guys over and go buy GameStop shares. And what that does is it increases the price. So the guys trying to short it actually make a loss. It's called a short squeeze. So to put it in context, GameStop was worth $4 and it jumped up to $300. So the hedge fund guys are in a very tricky predicament because they now need to buy back these shares that they initially sold for $4. They're buying them back for about $300. So that's a huge loss that they're making, you know. And they didn't just buy one share. They bought multiple shares. So the losses jump up to the millions and billions of dollars. So that's essentially what happened. I don't know. Is that a clear enough explanation? I mean, if I wasn't clear on anything, you can let me know.
Yeah. One thing also is, you know, like you said, right, they're borrowing the shares that they get.
Yes. And then
And then, but you're obliged to give them back.
Give it back, exactly. Although
there's no time limit, usually, as to when you should give them back.
Yes.
And that's important for this story as well, because, you know, I'll let you finish the story, but, you know, it's basically a contract that you have to give back these shares. And, yes. Yeah, at any time.
Exactly. Right. Okay. And when you're in a short squeeze, so a short squeeze is when the price of the stock goes up instead of down, and now you have to buy it back at a higher value. When you're in that predicament, there's no limit to your losses. Exactly. You know, there's no cap. Yeah.
There's no cap to it.
There's no cap.
Okay.
And so that's the story. And these Reddit guys saw what was happening. They saw what the hedge funds were doing. If I'm not mistaken, the information is public as to who they were going to short, and they made use of that. And they really stuck it to the Wall Street guys and the big hedge funds.
And another part of the story is, you know, what the hedge fund people actually do is similar to what these guys did. So, you know, when you short a stock, you want the value to go down. So they start kind of creating either panic or, you know, talking down on the actual stock, or themselves, you know, selling their GameStop stock to put it down, and then they get money from shorting, then they buy it back. So they do those kind of things. So I think there's a guy who came on to one of these shows, and they noticed that this guy was doing this thing where he talks down on a stock on whatever show it was. And then, you know, that drives people to sell and not hold their position. And then, you know, it goes down. But what it turns out, they've actually shorted these stocks. Mm-hmm. So it's to their advantage that it goes down. So these Reddit people saw this guy talking, and then they're like, nah, let's double down in these GameStop. Let's all buy. And this Reddit channel has like 3 million people, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, and you're having people investing thousands, you know.
100%.
Exactly. 100%. So it caused these billionaire hedge fund guys to lose billions, basically. But the interesting 100%. Part of this story is what the trading apps did.
Yeah, that's Robinhood and them. Yeah.
Robinhood, you know, eToro, all those. What they did is the actual big story about it, right? Which is they stopped people from buying stock, right, for this GME, right? Now, what that means is, you know, if people can't buy the stock, that means the price can't keep going up.
Yes.
You know, and, in you know...
And, and the this platform, Robinhood, that stopped people from buying shares, one of the hedge funds who funds them I believe they were also shorting the GameStop stocks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, right. Yeah.
So it becomes market manipulation at that point, right?
Yeah.
And for sure. And so they stopped. And here's what stopping people from buying the stock does. People can't buy. So people know the price it's at right now. That's the highest it's gonna be, right? Because it can't go up again because people aren't buying anymore. So, you know, the Reddit people, you know, they were desperately saying, guys, let's not sell. Let's hold our position, because us selling is what they want us to do, because it'll drive the price back down to where it was, and, you know, they don't have the losses. For sure. So let me actually check what it's on now.
And on top of that, just to add to what you're saying, people need to understand. I know you're saying the Robin Hood part is the big story, but the camaraderie of these guys is also massive, right? Because they bought these things at maybe $4 or $5 a share, and now it's worth $300. They could sell and make a killing, you know. You could literally have a win-win situation where the Reddit community sells and the price goes down, and then the hedge funds sell as well. So some of them are not making a money as a matter of principle, you know, which is extremely honorable, if that makes sense. You just don't see that kind of behavior. And especially amongst so many people, you know?
Yeah.
Where they say, we're going to stand on principle over profit and stick it to these guys. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the price has gone down to 250 or 245, 244 actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at its peak, it was almost 370. So it's mm-hmm. gone down by like 100 points, which is, you know, quite $100, which is quite a bit.
For sure.
But it's fluctuated, though. But yeah.
I'm sure it's a combination of people selling, some Redditor selling. They probably caved in. I'm sure some of the hedge fund guys would also sell to drive the price down. But yeah.
But like you said, I actually think you're right in terms of the big story is actually the camaraderie that happened, because it changes the game. Because this is what the hedge fund people do. That's why they're billionaires, right?
Yes,
they
exactly.
They just play the market like that. So now they're not happy with, you know, people having the power to do that. And mm-hmm. you know, and then it then comes to light that, you know, these platforms aren't really for us, you know. Unfortunately,
because just shows you the power of numbers, eh?
Yeah.
It actually reminds me of, you know what Stockfels are. I don't know if you're familiar with mm-hmm. the concept. Yeah, but like it just reminded me of, this was basically a Stockfel on steroids, you know, because South Africans for the longest time have known the power of collective saving and investing, and these Reddit guys just took it to another level where they're like, yo guys, this is what's possible if we get together.
Exactly. And they're doing it they did it with Dogecoin. I'm sure you saw that as well.
With Dogecoin?
Yeah, so it's a cryptocurrency that was started
I didn't know that. I didn't know that part of the story.
No, it's like a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a cryptocurrency that was started as a meme, basically. It's this dog that's a meme. So that's the Dogecoin, whatever. So the coin has the face of the dog.
The dog.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So it rose by like a crazy, crazy percentage. You know, the price for one was 0.001 or something. It literally had no value. Went up to about 0.1, which is insane. That's times.
Jeez.
Is that 1,000 or 100? I don't know. One of the two.
It went from 0.
I'm forgetting the actual proper numbers, but it was astronomical, basically.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How's it doing now?
It's they did the same thing where they stopped people from buying it, which there's arguments for them stopping people from buying it. You know, there's liquidity issues and all that, but it's weird because that can't really be an issue, because it's money that's in the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they just don't like this collusion with you know, normal people that's going on.
Sure. Because and you can understand that argument, right? But I think their counter argument is that you guys have been doing this for the longest time. Like you said, a guy goes on the news, he talks down a stock, knowing that him and all of his friends are gonna make a killing when the price of this thing goes down, you know? I think another argument that I've heard is that don't make new rules to punish us. Let's play on the rules that are already there, you know? Because now people are saying we need to relook at the, you know, regulations and all that jazz. And I think they're saying, no, let's use the rules that are there now. Because they used public information to do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, win for the little guy. One of my favorite movies is The Big Short. So I felt like I was watching it in real time.
Yes.
When all of this played out.
I actually want to watch it again now that I've kind of researched a bit more on just how this stuff works.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, guys made a killing in 2008 because one of the guys shorted the housing market.
Mm.
You know, very similar concept. where he saw that the housing market was just going to go belly up. So, yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, it was. It was, man. But yeah, good win for the little guys. Elon Musk was backing them. I thought that was funny.
He was backing the Reddit guys.
Yeah. He was. I actually wanted to talk to you about Elon. I think we've spoken about him before, but I just like him so much, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just the things that he's doing, and it reminded me of. I remember he was talking about Warren Buffett and how he's not really that impressed by what Warren Buffett does. And it brought me back to these hedge funds where, deuce, these guys are making millions and millions of dollars. But when I think about the value that they're bringing to society, I'm just thinking to myself, where is it? You know, it almost feels like they're playing this game that's out of reach for most people. We don't even understand what they do. We don't see the impact in our daily lives, and they just make money, you know?
It's gambling, basically.
Yeah, you know, 100%. And I think Elon Musk is, I think he, I'm paraphrasing drastically, but I think he looks down on what those guys do because, I mean, he's trying to send people to the moon. Do you know what I'm saying? So right. Can you imagine like two billionaires sitting together and just role playing? I'm Elon and you're a hedge fund manager. I can imagine myself looking at you like, bro, you're literally not on my level. You know, I can see Elon thinking that because I'm trying to get people to the moon and you're playing games. Literally, you're making money by gambling, and I'm trying to change, you know, the face of humanity. So I think that's why he got a kick from all of this. Might be wrong, I might be paraphrasing, but I was happy for sure.
And
when I read that story.
And you saw what he did, right? With the Bitcoin surge, where he put
He put it as Bitcoin his hashtag. I saw that. I saw that. And the price immediately went up, right?
Yeah,
he's such a troll. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing. So yeah, very funny. He just has smoke with everyone. He's just beefing. He just wants all the smoke, but very, very, very interesting week. Anything else that happened? I think that was the main thing, man. I can't think of anything else that was big.
What happened this week? Are you into like the stock market yourself?
I'm very passive, man. I'm very passive. I think I've told you this. I'm very mm-hmm. passive. I follow it. I try and understand. I understand it at a very basic level, but I'm not a. What's the word that I'm looking for? The opposite of passive. I forgot the term. I think this speaks to how much
the opposite
I know.
Of passive.
Yeah, with a passive investor, and then there's, an investor who's very involved. And
what's a retail investor? That just means someone who's not like a hedge fund. That just means.
Yeah, I think that's a bit like
just a person.
Level. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I like The Big Short, and I like the mechanics of it. I find the mechanics of it interesting, and the. I hate to use the gamification of it, but I like the gamification component of it. I think that's a little bit exciting, you know?
Yeah.
I listen to a few money market shows once in a while just to keep my mind sharp and understand, but I'm not too involved. I have investments, but they're all very passive, just in indexes and stuff. And
right.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just recently started a few weeks ago.
Sure.
It all started with the whole Tesla thing when it was just surging. So I was like, let me get in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how's that going, by the way? Are you still up? Are you up or are you down?
Yeah, I'm still green on it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm still green on it. I mean, I'd gone into red last, not last week, but end of the week last week. And then when the markets opened back today, it's back up into the greens. So I'm glad about that. I made a bad investment, but you know, when you're just reading, you know, a bunch of these, you know, forums and all that, and they say, this, so I bought a coin called the Ripple coin.
Okay.
It's a cryptocurrency as well. Clearly, I bought it at the wrong time, because since I've bought it, it's gone negative 35%.
Sure.
Which is horrible. I wish I'd bought it and now.
That's usually the case, right? Like when the hype is there, you're usually too late. You've probably missed the bus.
Yeah, and the time I bought it, it actually went up 10%. You know, and then I went to play basketball, come back from basketball, boom, negative 35. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, I went from feeling great to like, damn it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But, you know, it's all part of the game.
Yeah, it is, man. Like, I definitely, what I will say is I definitely want to get more involved as time goes on. But as a beginner investor, I think the first thing, they always talk about diversify, like spread your risk. By the way, this is not financial advice. I've always noticed whenever people talk about this stuff, they always say that.
Exactly. So, just absorb, even though it is financial advice, it absorbs you from any.
Right.
I'm like, that sounds like financial advice to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of it. And they'll give you advice for like 2 hours. And at the end, it's like, nah, this is not advice.
It's an opinion.
It's an amateur opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, just the approach that I've taken is just the diversify route, where I've just gone into indexes for a start. Indices? What's the plural?
Indices, yeah.
Indices. So, like, just your S&P and your NASDAQ, and I forgot what the Joburg one is called. There's one that tracks the, like, 100 companies in Joburg. I think it's the JSE something. I don't remember, but that's where I started. And from there, I think when I have more time, I'll become a bit more active, because I think I'll enjoy it. It definitely looks like it's fun.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm just doing the good old fashioned, just give me an index, just put it there, just invest a bit more every month, because if these companies are doing well, my index is going to benefit from that, you know. Obviously I won't gain as much as everyone else, but I won't lose as much either, you know, so I'm happy with that for now, at least.
I'm keen on these, what are they called? They're called penny stocks. You know what a penny stock is?
I remember that from The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I don't remember what they are.
So basically a penny stock. Okay, so stock for Tesla costs about 800 for one share, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you buy 200, you're buying a quarter of a share. But, you know, but then there's other companies where, or even crypto, where, you know, one share is $1. That's what a penny stock is, really. So those ones are great if it goes high, because, you know, basically if you buy $100 and it, you know, it goes up by 0.2, you've made $20 quite easily.
Yeah.
If you buy, if it goes up by, you know, 50%, again, you make $50. And so they're high risk but high reward stocks. Sure. If you get it right, I mean, there's one that went crazy. What's it called? There's one that went crazy last week, end of last week.
Yeah.
And it went up from, I think it was 0.2 to something like 8. I'm like, wow. Right?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously insane, because the kind of money you'll make there is just insane. But obviously, it kind of shoots up during the day by that much, and it has to do with sometimes it's those forums again, these Reddit ones where people are talking, and then they kind of hype it up, and then people get in. And then the first person to make a big sell, then, you know, a big collapse happens. You know, mm-hmm. people panic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a very, you know, high risk, high reward situation. For sure. But yeah, you can lose for money sure. with penny stocks like crazy. Like like with the Ripple one, you know, it went, you know, it just went down by 0.3. Yeah. And, you know, that caused the 30% down on my investment, you know. But then it can easily go back up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, you just have to hold. You know, if you're in the red, you'd rather hold. And
for sure.
As long as you hold, you haven't lost your money.
For sure. Exactly, for sure.
Yeah.
And are you investing more for, is it for leisure? Is it retirement? Is it like short term?
It's education. Like if I put money into a coin, that's long term, because I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I do a bit of research, I can see, you know, the coins that can gain. You know, if I put, let's say I put 100 on Ripple, and it's 0.03 to buy it. I don't know. It's actually 0.3 to buy it. If it goes up to $20 in 2025, you know, I've made quite a lot, and I can, and that's kind of what the Bitcoin people did, you know, at the beginning. You know, you don't really know how high it's gonna go, so you just So the coins are, you know, there's no guarantee that they'll go up, obviously. But if you just kind of spread your, just buy a few coins here and there, and then see what happens in.
With you.
Yeah, you might make a killing. So I'm just trying to see if that happens. And 100%. Then with stuff like Tesla, yeah, you just buy and hold, I guess.
Sure.
And then there's a few penny ones that you kind of do just quickly, try and make $100 here and there.
Sure.
And then see. Yeah.
Nice. No, I'm with you.
You know, another interesting one is currency trading. And
Forex.
Yeah, Forex. You know, where especially
there's a lot of people right now rolling their eyes, especially the South African audience, at the Forex thing.
Why is that?
I mean, it's Forex is the go-to in terms of, remember we spoke about these internet gurus. Forex is the go-to. Especially in the South African market, where a lot of guys preach Forex, teach people how to get into Forex, and that's how they actually make the money, as opposed to actually trading in Forex.
Yeah.
But go for it. Tell me about, you were telling me about Forex.
Yeah, so in these COVID times, you know, there's a bunch of currencies that have been quite volatile. So it's about kind of seeing, like the rand, for example, that time where it went to 19, went back down to 14, a lot of people made a killing there. I unfortunately wasn't trading. I kind of tried to do it manually, where I just converted all my money into USD, and then, but by the time I wanted to convert it back to rands, when it hit 19, because it wasn't a trading platform, it took two days to go back into my account. So it then ended up, you know, using a rate that same rate that I'd bought. Luckily I didn't make a loss for that one, but I would have made so much money if I'd used an actual trading platform for that.
Yes.
Or if I'd actually spoken to Standard Bank. I don't know why I didn't do that. but it's an interesting one as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, guys. Don't holler at those Facebook guys who DM you and all that stuff.
Trading. You know, I think it's actually a very interesting conversation to have. I think people need to. There's a book called The Intelligent Investor, and that's the book that Warren Buffett read, and that's what got him into investing. And it speaks about value investing, which is what Warren Buffett uses. Some people argue against that. They say it's outdated, But value investing is essentially looking at the health of the company by looking at the financials, if I'm not mistaken, you know, to see if it's undervalued and then buy those stocks. I might be incredibly wrong, but Warren Buffett isn't of the school of thought that uses technical analysis, right? So technical guys are looking at charts and those candlesticks and seeing, you know, what's going up and down. Is he just wants to see the financials for a company and he takes it from there. But anyway, in that book, it was a hard read, man. I couldn't.
You said it's very thick and it's from the 19 what?
Just from the 20s. So it was dated. And then I really struggled, man. But one thing they spoke about was the different types of investors. And they spoke about how you should have, and again, there's not financial advice, just what the book says that stuck with me, where have money that you're willing to play around with, that you're willing to lose. I think a lot of like the investing you're talking about, like it fits into that pool, right? Where it's like, we can win big, you can lose big, but it's okay. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you shouldn't lose sleep over it. Then
I don't lose sleep over it if you lose. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's long term and you're thinking about retirement, et cetera, then you're probably just going to want to be a bit more sound in your decision making and be in it for the long haul as opposed to the short term, you know, ups and downs. But yeah, man, this stuff is it's so complex and everyone has different philosophies and strategies and it's incredible. Definitely I hope to get into what you are in, like maybe in the next year or two for sure.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm going to sound like an old man, but I've started invest. Like when I started investing, I was thinking about retirement. So everything that I've put there is, I don't want to touch it for years.
Hey man, it's so good that you actually did that, that you started.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been thinking more from like a retirement perspective, because most people actually won't be able to afford to do that. Like the stats are scary around it, you know. So there's that, but I definitely want to get a pool where I have like this little portfolio and I'm just making things happen. It just looks so fun, man. Deuce, anything else before we wrap this one up?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Don't lose money.
Gamble responsibly or trade responsibly. They're pretty much interchangeable.
Yeah. All right.
You're betting on a company, basically.
For sure.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you guys. Every week you're here. Be sure to like and subscribe on all our platforms. And we'll catch you next week. These are amateur opinions. If you like them, you can take them. If you don't, you can leave them. Peace.